Today on Real Radio.
That's doctrines of demons, says the Bible. Why? Because some think that preaching the gospel is the way to make money. It has got to be a giving done by grace out of your heart.
Welcome to Real Radio with Pastor Jack Hibbs. I'm David J., thanking you for joining us today as we listen, learn, and are challenged by God's Word, the Bible. On today's edition of Real Radio, Pastor Jack continues his series through Paul's second New Testament letter to the Corinthians. We're going verse by verse, chapter by chapter through this epistle, but for the past several broadcasts, Pastor Jack has been bringing us a new series within a series that focuses on parts of chapters 8, 9, and 10. It's all about the scriptural worldview of giving, and we're not dealing with the giving of money only. It could be time, maybe talent, as well as treasure, and we are to give with a cheerful heart, as the Bible says. Here's pastor and Bible teacher Jack Hibbs now, continuing his multi-part series called Giving What's Been Given.
The Bible tells us that's where wars come from. Our own desires to heap things up to ourselves. We love each other, we love ourselves, I should say, too much. What we need to do is love God the most, and then God says, that's cool, if you love me, go over there and help that guy right there. And in that, you find fulfillment. You guys, our next-door neighbor, they were on vacation this last week, and we got to watch their gigantic brown Labrador. His name's Hurley. And he loves the water. And he's so cool. And you know what? He kind of walks around. He's there. You know, it's cool. You're relating to him. Hey, Hurley, how are you? And his tail, he's big. And he wags his tail. The tail starts wagging first, and then the whole body starts wagging. And it's so cute, and he's like this. And he's happy. But you know when I discovered when he's really joyful? When I pick up the ball. And when I throw the ball, he's very, very happy. And you should see him when he comes back. I should have video recorded this and showed you today in church. Because he's happy, but when he comes back and he sets the ball down at my foot, you should see the smile on that dog's face. His eyes are lit up. He's so happy. And if you know what I'm talking about, why is that true about that dog? Because he is in the class of what's called working dogs. They're not happy unless they're working. And a Christian has been saved and is going to heaven. So what do we do until then? It is God at work in you to do what his will is, and he wants to use you. And so you and I are like working dogs. It's like, oh, yes, Lord. What do you want to do next? It's such an exciting way to live. The Bible tells us here in verse 12 that there must first be a willing mind. And he says that it is accepted according to what one has, and not according to what one does not have. The word mind here, first a willing mind, the word means a predisposition. It's preset in the believer's mind. The word means a forward thinking of the mind. The word means to have a mindset on, listen, readiness. It's a military term. A mind that is on alert for a need. I love the meaning of that Greek word in the original Bible. Have your mind as a believer in gear, ready to meet a need. How many of you are Christians? Raise your hands. Well, that's the kind of mind we're supposed to have. Our minds are supposed to be constantly in gear, waiting to meet a need that arises. Now, this is critical. The Corinthian church was aware of some needs, and they didn't act and fill those needs. Question to you. Do you know of any needs? If you do, let's ask this question. Why do you know those needs or that need? Why? Why is it that you know about it and your neighbor doesn't know about it? Answer, God wanted you to know about it because you raised your hand a moment ago that you're a Christian. God says, great, you're a Christian. You can raise your hand. Now take that hand with the need you know about and do something about it. That's Christianity. The history of Christianity is awesome. We build universities. You know, they're kind of like called Yale, Harvard, Cornell, Princeton. You ever heard of those schools before? We build hospitals around the world for 2,000 years. It's not only what Christianity says, that doesn't benefit anybody about what it says. What Christianity does by benefiting people is that it does what it says. This is a good thing. I know, yes, I'm convicted. Why am I feeling convicted? Because God is speaking to us to not talk about Christianity so much, but do it. And there's opportunities to meet the need everywhere. And that's a wonderful thing to know. Now listen to this. The number one motive for giving to God should be grace giving, it's been said. Meaning this, thankfulness. Out of a thankful heart, the believer is to give and to meet the needs. I'm going to tell you guys a story. I don't know if it ministers to you or not. It's just kind of weird. I got to tell you, I don't know if I've ever told this story before. Are you guys ready? If it doesn't apply, then just forget about it. And if it doesn't work, we'll just edit it out of the message. But several years ago, Lisa and I were on vacation, and it was a very strange thing because it was a Sunday morning, and we had decided to go to a certain church. And so while I was getting ready, look, I have to preface this. I've never heard God speak like, Jack! This is the Lord. I've never heard that. But I've heard him speak. You say, what are you talking? What are you double talking here? No, there's a way that God can speak to the human heart that it is louder than audible words. And I don't know how to explain that to you. Some of you are nodding your head saying, yes, you know what I'm talking about. And I was getting ready. We knew a church we were going to go visit on our vacation. And I was getting ready. And I felt the Lord say, be ready to give today when they take an offering. And I'm thinking, well, that's not unusual. Give big. Okay. So I told Lisa, and we went to the church. Heard a fine message, excellent worship. And they didn't take an offering like we do here. They had a box. But that's not the point. The point is Lisa and I stood in line to meet the pastor, to say hello. And we didn't know them. He didn't know us. We didn't know him or the church. And several times during the message, the Lord kept impressing upon my heart, be ready to give big to this work. Are you guys listening carefully to what I'm saying?
Yes.
And before Lisa and I ever got a chance to meet the person, the pastor, we were listening to how he was speaking to people and the tone in which he was speaking. And he was rude. And he was short and terse with people. It was not a good example of how, first of all, a human should talk to another human, let alone a Christian should talk to somebody else, let alone a pastor to sheep. And I was grieved. And Lisa and I were listening, and then we came up, and I shook the gentleman's hand, and I thanked him for the service. And I had my mouth was moving in one way, but my ears were turned upward to the heavens, right, listening. And we walked away, and we stood off to the side, and I'm waiting to be obedient to this. And the Lord said, don't give. And I said, okay, this must be demonic here, because I came ready. And now you say don't give. That can't be God. He never contradicts himself. And he busted me. He said, I didn't say give big. That's why I asked you a moment ago if all of you were listening. He said, be ready to give big. I was ready, but God withheld the blessing from being put into that basket for that church because God did not approve of what was going on. But God, that church wasn't on trial. That church wasn't in the judgment seat. Who was in the judgment seat? No, not the pastor. I was. Look, that pastor's got to answer to God someday. I'm not talking about. God asked me to be ready. And isn't it amazing? That shocked me like you're shocked. It's like, what? God said, I said, be ready to give big. Withhold. Wow. That was amazing. God says, I want you to have a willing mind, a willing attitude, a willing heart to be ready to give, to meet the need. God is serious about this thing of giving. Maybe it's time. Maybe it's love. Maybe it's energy. It doesn't matter. But the Bible says in Galatians 6, verse 9 and 10, and let us not grow weary while doing good. This is implied, by the way. It's assumed. The Christians are busy about doing good, for in due season, at just the right time, we shall reap if we do not lose heart. Isn't that a great word? Because don't you, we get tired of, you do good things and nobody responds. You could lose heart. Therefore, as we have opportunity, let us do good to all, especially to those who are of the household of faith. Listen, before I move on to the second point, church, what does that mean? Galatians 6, 9 through 10, it simply means this. Let me paraphrase. Let us do good to all, but especially to the household of faith. Do good to all people. That should be our witness. Number two, make sure you're taking care of the household of God. Okay, I want all of you to look around at each other. Just catch the glimpse. Go ahead. Your neck, some of you won't. Some of you won't listen to me. You won't even move your neck. You're terrified. Look at the people around you. We're supposed to do good to each other. Who says? Bible. That's our orders. What else? And to one another. That's us in the house. It's not a suggestion. You say, well, how do we do this? I thought you would ask. So I wrote some things down. By the way, we being many people, right, comprise one body of believers. Together, there isn't one need, I'm convinced of this, that we cannot meet. Why? Because God makes us aware of the needs. Listen, assuming already that we're going to act upon that in obedience. In other words, God will never, are you listening? God will never bring to our attention a need that we cannot help meet or be in association with others to meet or just flat out meet ourselves. God is awesome. If something comes up, you see a need, God is telling you not to blog about it, not to Facebook it, but to fix it. Well, you know, when I came in, there were some smudges on that window over there. And I am going to Instagram that right now. Okay, before you Instagram it, repent. Repent, get some Windex and a paper towel and clean it. Why? God showed it to you. He didn't show it to me. I'm just making this up. Well, there's gum on the carpet. God is showing you, so you pick it up. Did you ever think of that? It's very simple. That person walked right past it. Why did they? They didn't see it. But you saw it. So here's the deal, truly. Now watch, are you ready? Now you're going to be, you'll have no place to hide in a moment. What do we need in this church? These are just, believe me, just a few. There are people in this church who can't afford a refrigerator. A refrigerator. Ladies and gentlemen, we're Christians. That means one that works really good. Okay? A car. There is a family that needs a car. Minor plumbing repairs in an elderly person's home. Children's clothing for those who are just barely making ends meet. Some minor car repair, like oil changes, that up until now the church is helping getting that done by various places around town. But what if there's somebody in the body saying, hey, I own a repair shop. We can take care of that. Children's diapers. I met a woman the other day. I met her here the other day in the foyer, but I'm not saying she's the one that needs children's diapers. Not yet. She was a young girl. She's going to have four babies. She's pregnant with four babies. That's what I went, oh. And I told her, sleep now, girl, sleep now. But listen, there's families in this church that need babies' diapers. Listen, there's families in this church that need adult diapers because they have very serious health situations in their home. On and on it goes. I gave you a minute list right just now. You say, why do you bring this up? Because there's somebody here that might be connected with diaper manufacturing people. You might be a plumber. You might be, I don't know. These are needs. Big church, big needs. Number two in our study is this. Giving what's been given, verses 13 to 15, is a heart check regarding faithfulness. God wants us to be faithful. And so in verses 13 to 15, there's this announcement that God is saying, listen, look at verse 13. He says, for I do not mean that others, you need to underline this, especially young people today on the college campus. Hear me out, and I'll tell you why. For I do not mean that others should be eased and you burdened. The word means, I don't think that the Corinthian church, Paul says, it's not God's will that you guys sacrifice everything for those who have nothing so that those who have nothing can have everything. And you, listen, and you now are in a state of poverty. That's not what he's saying. And I'll come back to this in a second. But by their equality, not like you think, not like you and I have been conditioned to think, that everyone should have the exact same amount of money in their pocket, the exact same color car, the exact same color bicycle, the exact same color house. Are you hearing me? That's not what we're talking about. Equality meaning in the ability in which you are able to give, God is saying, I don't want from you what you cannot give. So please hear this, everybody. And you know I'm going to go off on this. I've been taking advantage of this these last few weeks. If somebody comes to you in the name of a Christian ministry, or for that matter, anything, and says, listen, make a pledge. Make a pledge to give this ministry $1,000 a month. I despise people asking like that. Is not God able to speak to his kids to tell them of between their intercourse with God as they commune and pray with him? And God says, and you, Susie, give $5 to the ding-dong thingy boppers. Can't you do that? Of course you can. But when somebody grabs your ear and twists it and says, you know, I saw some heretic on Christian television say, if you just got healed watching our program, I'm serious, I'm not kidding. I have this recorded. If you just got healed watching our program, then you send in an offering of thanks, $1,000 or more. That's how you keep your healing. That's exactly. That's why I recorded it. I said, I can't believe that. That is going to be played in eternity on Judgment Day. Did you know that? That's how you keep your healing, huh? Did you know that? You give money to keep your healing. That's called heresy, ladies and gentlemen. That's doctrines of demons, says the Bible. Why? Because some think that preaching the gospel is the way to make money. It has got to be a giving done by grace out of your heart. And that's serious. So now listen. Those of you, I mentioned a moment ago on the college campus that you need to pay close attention to that verse right there, verse 13. Why is that? Because God literally in the Bible, throughout the Bible, condemns what I'm going to use a modern, current day definition. God condemns in the Bible the redistribution of wealth. Did you know that? Isn't that a big term today? Redistribution of wealth. Any of you study history? You ought to take the time, get a big pot of coffee. You're going to need it, but you ought to read Plato's Republic. Listen, if I was an educator in this nation, if I was the dictator of education, I would dictate this. Nobody gets out of school without reading Plato's Republic. Why? Because it's nuts. Why? For the same reason why you can't get out of school if I was the dictator of education without you reading Karl Marx's Communist Manifesto. Why? Because it's nuts. Or Thomas More's Utopia. You say, what do you bring this up for? Really? Every one of these people had a dream about creating an existence of humanity and a nation and a world separate from God, no God. And this is the government of man. And in every situation, it self-destructs because it takes those who have, it takes from them, gives to those who won't. And it destroys the very culture that they seek to create. It is a humanistic, man-made, a few-centric power struggle. When you remove God, ladies and gentlemen, from the equation of life, man fills the void with himself as God. Karl Marx, Adolf Hitler, Mao, on and on it goes. But today in our college campuses, our kids are being sold, and you're paying for it. Our kids are being sold an agenda of the redistribution of wealth. That's the right thing to do. Make everything common, make everything social, make everything, and suck the heart of which God put within a human being. I'm not talking politics. I'm talking about the Christian. Listen, if the church would rise up and love like God commanded us to love, we would put government to shame. You want to know how we'd put it to shame? Because you can't stop love. We would break the welfare system because there would be nobody going to show up for welfare. You want to know why? Because we would be the ones scooping up the needy off the streets and taking care of them. That's what we're to do. Sad day that when the church steps down from its commitments, and the government's got to create welfare programs. It was never like that in the nation that the founders had envisioned. By the way, read John Adams, read Jefferson. They studied Plato's Republic. They studied these things. Why? To see what kind of government we were not going to have. By the way, I want to commend this two-volume reading to all of you. Again, if I was the dictator of education in America, no kid could graduate without reading John Locke's two volumes, his treatise on government. John Locke. You know who he is, John Locke? Our founding fathers, Thomas Jefferson, almost quoted John Locke verbatim in the Declaration. You look at the Declaration of Independence, the Bill of Rights, you look at the Constitution. John Locke, in his treatise, 1,500 biblical quotations. He's considered actually the founding father of the founding fathers. Bible-based. Well, you say, what do you bring that up for? Because there's been no government created in the history of mankind that has been more perfect, as imperfect as it is, as the constitutional government that we enjoy today. That's why people for hundreds of years have flocked to this nation. I'm not talking politics, I'm talking facts. And those, here's my punchline. That Constitution and the belief of our founding fathers, no matter what their view was, they held close to a Judeo-Christian worldview. Everything about this nation's founders. Awesome.
Pastor and Bible teacher Jack Hibbs, here on Real Radio, in a lesson called Giving What's Been Given. It's a multi-part series taken from parts of chapters 8, 9, and 10 of 2 Corinthians on the all-important topic of giving. Giving What's Been Given is part of Pastor Jack's fascinating verse-by-verse look at this New Testament letter, which will continue on tomorrow's edition of Real Radio. Now, remember, we're getting a lot of responses from Real Radio listeners on this series, so that's why we're making it available for you on DVD. Now, it's a 5-disc set called Tools, Giving What's Been Given. You know, a lot of folks, friends of the ministry and Real Radio listeners have called in saying this really is quite a valuable and biblically based treatment of this topic of, well, just that, giving. And they're sharing it with friends, family, and their local church, and that's why we're continuing to make it available just for you. So here's our offer. For your gift of any amount to this broadcast outreach known as Real Radio, we'll send you Pastor Jack's 5-DVD series called Tools, Giving What's Been Given. I'll say that again. For your gift to Real Radio of any amount, we'll send you Pastor Jack's 5-DVD set called Tools, Giving What's Been Given. It's the video version of what we've been hearing right here on Real Radio. So call, click, or write. Just be sure to mention that title, Tools, Giving What's Been Given. Visit us at reallifewithjackhibbs.org. That's reallifewithjackhibbs.org. You can also call us at 877-RR-RADIO. That's 877-RR-RADIO. Or if you'd prefer, just ask for it by name when you write to us, Tools, Giving What's Been Given, and send it to Real Radio, Box 1273, Chino Hills, California, 91709. Of course, all of our contact info can be found at reallifewithjackhibbs.org. This program has been sponsored by Real Radio and made possible by the generous contributions of our listeners. Visit us at reallifewithjackhibbs.org, reallifewithjackhibbs.org. I'm David J. Until next time, Pastor Jack Hibbs and all of us here at Real Radio wish for you solid and steady growth in Christ and in His Word. This program has been sponsored by Real Radio.